Bob Guzley of the Downtown Commission. Stay with us.
Sometimes I feel the need to ask my landlord just exactly when did God die and how'd you get in the will? And why is it that you own 7 homes and I own none? And for some reason that means you get to rob me on the first of every month. Upon further investigation, I find that land acquisition is just a result of genocide and war. And if we uphold the institution of land ownership, we are saying it's acceptable to kill people just to take away the land, to take their land. It's just a scam. Pretty simple equation. There's 99 people like you for every cop, landlord, and politician. And if we learn to just say no, there'd be no more taxes, no more work, and we'd all own our own homes. We are all controlled. We are all controlled. We are all controlled. We are all controlled by fear. If you don't go to work every day, if you don't pay your rent every month, if you don't pay your taxes every year, if you don't bow down to our fear, you will starve in the street, you will freeze in the street, you will die in the street, you will die in the street, you will die alone. Pretty simple equation. It's all about restitution. It's all about reparation. It's all about revolution. My life is mine. My time is mine. My work is mine, and I don't work for you anymore. My life is mine. My time is mine. It's just a scam. And if we really believe it's okay to kill someone just to take their shit, then I'm gonna go down to the pawn shop and buy myself a handgun, 'cause my landlord's on the top of the list. Yeah! My landlord's
say, make me fall to my knees. It's a simple matter of greed, do you understand? Situations like these make me fall to my knees. It's a simple matter of greed. Rent is just a scam. The Indians lost, and this is the cause. The Indians lost, rent is the cause. The Indians lost, and this is the cause. The Indians lost.
And you are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, Bathrobes Pierre Robert Norris, and in the studio with me is the redoubtable Bob Guzley. Say hi, Bob.
Hi, Robert.
Talk closer to the mic and talk louder.
Hi, Robert.
That's a little closer. You have to actually, there you go, just eat the mic. Just start licking that rubber.
Well, there it is. Okay, I don't want to get closer than 10 feet.
Oh, okay, well, that's good. Yeah, 10 feet is, actually right now it's 6 feet, so let's not exaggerate. People like yourself are always, you know, putting our city council on the defensive. Actually, Bob Guzley is a member of the Downtown Commission, not here in that capacity. He's here as a private citizen. Or have you been delegated to speak for the Downtown Commission?
I have not been delegated to speak for the Downtown Commission.
I see. Well, you know, actually, I think we should have also invited someone from the minority. I guess there was Jerry, is it Mandel?
Jerry Mandel.
Or Thomas Mandel. Thomas.
Although Thomas Mandel was, close to
having a problem with this mic. Let me see what we can do. Talk some more. Huh. Let's put this up to this. Maybe talk directly into it. I think we're having... Say something. Doesn't register at all. Maybe what I'm going to do here is to simply share this mic with you. It doesn't look like mic 2 is working. And it looks like all our dials are in place. We have a tech who is up early and wishes to wander on in. Aha! Perhaps this is a tech calling in. Nope. It's a line. I hope the phone is working. Nobody seemed to be on the other end of the line there. We'll jointly mic it up here for the moment, though. It'd be nice if we had another mic. Maybe it isn't plugged in. Could that be a
possibility?
We won't be able to tell. Let's see.
Testing. Yeah, now there is something that's coming over this mic. Testing. Hello. Looks like it's let's see here.
This one comes over pretty well. Okay, well, we're gonna try to live with one mic. Thank you very much, and see what we can do here. I think we'll be able to manage this. Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM is your station, and you can be a part of this whole discussion by getting on the phone and giving a call to 427-3772. That's our phone number. Again, grab a pencil or just note the number, 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. And we are... available. We only have one line, and we expect hopefully to get a few phone calls here. So give it a call, 427-3772, if at any time during the show you feel like you want to join in the discussion, 427-3772. If you're out of the area code is 831, and if you're listening to us and about to go out of the area but you still want to continue to listen and you have a portable computer in your hat, you can dial us in at www.microradio.net/FRSC. Again, www.microradio.net/FRSC. Well, you know, Bob, would you like a minute or two to get ready? We can play an interview or two from the streets, as we often do in this show, since we're concerned with civil rights on the streets. Or do you want to jump right in? What's your feeling?
No, go ahead and play. Go ahead and play a minute or two of.
Give you a chance to put on the makeup and so forth.
Yes, thank you. Makeup is here, and
I'll fluff you and get you ready.
The cue cards are a little fuzzy, but I think I'll be okay.
We'll be doing that kind of prep, and as you can see, we are a professional show, unlike some hack others on this same network, so to speak. So, what we're going to do now is listen for a moment to some interviews. Actually, continuing, I was playing some of these earlier in an earlier show with the actual people who are out there on the streets. A lot of them show up at the Veterans Hall at Christmas. These are folks who are affected not just by the street performer laws. Many of the people who are taking the lead in opposing the street performer laws are street performers who are indoors, who actually only occasionally play on the streets, but I'm glad they're taking that initiative. The people that are out there all the time are really the main target of these laws. They are the people who are told they cannot sit down on the sidewalk, even if they're not blocking anyone, within 14 feet of a building, 14 feet of a kiosk, 14 feet of a telephone, 14 feet of a drinking fountain, which essentially eliminates 95% of the sidewalks in all business districts. And if they have the temerity to silently hold up a sign that says, need money for food, they can't do that at night, they can't do that from a seated position, they can't do that in a group of two, and they can't do that on any sidewalk in town, except for those areas that, those sidewalks that have more than 14-foot egress areas, and that's actually even greater restrictions. So it's an attempt to criminalize homeless and poor people and to get them out of sight, and the street performers are being swept up in this net. That really is the bottom line, and that's the reason the city council is doing this, and the reason that they're defending this, what may seem to some to be an indefensible situation. I'm going to ask for Bob's opinion on that in a moment, but let's hear some reports on how homeless people are doing generally, or let's say at least hungry folks, using the Veterans Hall meal on Christmas. You're going to hear stories of police harassment, believe it or not, the subject the city council refuses to deal with or even acknowledge exists. And you're going to hear stories of other laws that criminalize homeless people, like the Santa Cruz City sleeping ban. So listen and call in and tell me what you think.
What's your name, sir?
I'm Dennis Davis.
Dennis, how are police treating you outside?
Oh, I'm all right, you know, and sort of not. You know, there's a lot of rip-offs around here, and a lot of con artists, and a lot of weird people around here, you know, very strange people, in fact. And I'm leaving next month. I'm going to Cabo San Lucas. I hope hopefully the rest of my life. The people live there, 10 to 1, you know, you get 10 for every dollar you spend.
Much cheaper to live down there.
Much
I agree.
Cheaper. This is the most best place to live in the world.
See any hassles down here? Yourself? I mean, in the last couple weeks?
Yeah, I ripped off.
You got ripped off yourself?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm not ripped off. I've gotten ripped off about 30 times around here. For all my clothes, my medication, my all kinds of stuff, you know.
Mostly you're talking about, are these other folks who are outdoors, or is this police, or is this wandering vigilantes?
Oh, I don't know who takes the stuff, you know, but I'll tell you, it's not right for anybody to take anything from anybody, you know. And I think it's homeless people taking it from homeless people, you know, and that it's wrong, you know. You can't, a person that's homeless is wrong to take from a homeless person that's homeless. Why don't you homeless people take from the rich, you know? It doesn't make any sense to me, man.
Here you. Thank you, man.
You're welcome.
All right. We're talking with...
We need somebody to investigate that place.
What place are we talking about? And what is your
HCRC,
name, madam?
No.
An anomalous comment here.
Yeah.
And what about HCRC? Actually, it's called HR, Homeless Resource Center. Homeless Resource Center?
Yeah, it's terrible down there. The food is disgusting. One lady, she was eating a cookie, and the cook came out and took a cookie right out of her mouth. Because she maybe had one too many. There's a lot.
No cookies if you've been tipping, eh?
Yeah, and disgusting. The food is disgusting. It would gag a maggot.
Give me an example of the problems with the food.
It's not institutional cooking. If you're a diabetic and you have diet problems, that place isn't the place to go. There are other places around town people are going to. What else? There's no, the homeless board is made up of rich white people. We don't.
What else is new?
It's not, we don't have access to it, to the board.
There's a photo opportunity over here.
Ken Cole, people are saying Ken Cole has a heart the size of that would fit into the navel of a flea with two caraway seeds. That's how they think of him. They're all driving brand new cars, buying houses.
For example, name a few people who are in that condition.
Let's see, PJ runs Page Smith. He's driving in a Mercedes. There are other people. I just don't want to name names. I know some people are buying houses, the employees. And yet the people that do most of the work, like the monitors, they only get $20 a night. Instead of at least minimum wage, $20 a lousy night. And there's just all kinds of things about that place. It just doesn't, it needs to be investigated.
Thank you.
There's more, but you got to go down there. You have got to go down there.
You want a table with me? I'll bring the table down. I don't want to do it alone. I want to have somebody who wants to do it.
I want somebody
to... No smiling, Smiley.
I want somebody to go down there and just investigate that place.
All right. Well...
Go down there about 4 o'clock and try that food.
You know, I don't want to get...
I don't know. I want to be down there when they swap the hogs.
All right. Well, thank you.
You know, Salinas feeds 200 people a day, and that food is wonderful down there. And they got that brand new kitchen.
What's it called? Betty's?
That's Dorothy's place in Salinas, yeah. They don't do much else for the homeless, but at least they feed them, and they give them a sandwich and a...
We need more here.
This
is Hot Rod John Rapport again. Santa Cruz has got a lot of ignorance with their political... We need more openness and there's just so much frustration I have. I can't even talk right.
We forgive you.
I don't know, Santa Cruz, maybe someday the footnotes to this time in history will be, what would it be, the shameless content. Wait a minute. The shameless contempt.
Contempt?
Yeah. We're treated with shameless contempt.
Contempt.
They don't know.
Shameless contempt.
Esteban, I'm hearing an accusation about the police here. Could you repeat that, please?
The police? They're trashing camps, slitting tents, breaking tent poles, and then and taking their belongings, like camp stoves and other personal property. Just like with the homeless vehicles. They're towed all the time and taken away and sold. Where does that money go? This place is about greenbacks and kickbacks.
And you are going to do something about it, right?
Well, we're coming up with something. You got to organize.
We do, and that is the truest thing.
Just one voice, and I'll find it. It's me.
All right, you keep in touch with me, and if you want to hold a meeting of people who want to do something, I'll be there.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
We're talking to a man who just got a panhandling ticket. What's your name, sir?
Thomas Payne. And
what happened?
Well, I was walking on the street. I asked a friend of mine. He had 21 cents. Oh my gosh, they said you were within 3 feet. I go, 3 feet, how'd you know? They said these tiles are 2 feet apart. You put one foot inside that one, so you were less than 3 feet away from it. So here's a ticket for you.
Where did you get this ticket?
Right in front of the what do you call those people? The Downtown Association? Yeah.
And what time of day was it?
About 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. My gosh.
And do you remember the name of the cop who gave it to you?
I got the ticket right here. No, I don't.
Let's take a look at this ticket.
This is serious. There's a
serious criminal who's getting ticketed. Now,
28 cents.
Well, the man is an obvious criminal. Look at him. He's vicious. He's,
no. Yeah. My gosh.
Let's take a look here.
No, my gosh. Whatever it is,
We got a ticket here, and it's kind of hard to read.
What it says.
Boy, I'm having trouble too. 9.040A. And the arresting officer, Gray, was a woman, huh?
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah, but the guy that was with doesn't like
two
me.
Two tickets.
Yeah.
What was the other ticket for?
Oh, because I have an old warrant out. Santa Cruz police. Gosh.
With a gun.
Officer Gray.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
my gosh. And see, what happened the other day was that my brother gives me $20 yesterday. I hadn't seen him for 2 years. And they said, hey, you got money from that guy. I said, it's my damn brother. He's an engineer. My gosh. The guy that Jonathan, that gave me the 30 cents, I asked for 21 cents, gave me 31 cents. Jonathan Kane, who's, you know, you probably see him around town, you know, Randall Kane's son. My gosh. He goes, Tom, here's 30. Yeah, I got 30 cents. I go, thank you. And that's when I got the ticket. That's it.
Wow. And I hope you're going to take this to court.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. No.
You do. Take this flyer and call me after you've disqualified Mulligan. First of all, you should disqualify Mulligan. That's the referee in the basement.
Yeah.
And you got to go into the window in the basement and disqualify him. You know, all that shit. So again, you want to give us your accurate name or not?
Yeah, it is Thomas Payne.
You are Thomas Payne.
Uh-huh. Yes. Uh-huh.
Y.
Yeah, the Y. Yes.
Let me write down your number too. You got a number or
not right now? I'm homeless.
Any contact point?
Not right now. No, my gosh. I mean, I used to have a house here. I mean, I worked for 30 years downtown. I worked at the Cooper House. I worked, in Catalyst, in any place you can think of. I taught at the university. My gosh.
What did you teach?
Child care. I mean, my gosh. I mean, how dare they do that to me? And my family's been here since the 50s. My gosh. My grandma, and so I just got back from here, but, I can't work anymore, but cut my hand, so I can't work.
You're showing me your left hand, which has a scar right between the thumb all the way down to the...
I can't work. And so I was feeding the homeless. My gosh. And so I have no money. And so, I need 21 cents. What the hell's wrong with that? For bus fare, you get warm.
We don't want your kind around town.
I know. And what gets me is that, I own houses here. That's the thing that gets me. And I have a trailer park, and whatever it might be. Oh, my gosh. And they every time they write down I get a ticket, they write down transient. Transient? How can you be a transient if you live here since 67?
Now, when did you lose your lodging? When was the last time you were indoors?
What?
When did you become homeless?
Well, when I got back from Australia, I traveled overseas and stuff like that. But I sold my place in SoCal. I sold that in 98. So,
now 4 years.
2 years abroad, and then I was traveling, I had money, and then I got, so I came back here a year and a half ago, and
here you are, getting hassled for asking someone you know for money?
Yes, for someone I know, and he wants to go to court with me. My gosh.
Remember, it's a $162 ticket. Keep that in
mind.
Really? Oh, yeah. If you do it twice, it's a $1,000 fine and 6 months in jail.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. You're really and truly?
Yeah.
My God.
Really and truly.
He knows. Don't question Rob.
Isn't that crazy? So what we want to do a protest. You go down there and do it. I'll do it with you. We can panhandle all day, right?
And what am I supposed to do? Put you have a yardstick out?
No.
A 3 foot. They said within 3 feet. So I can put a yardstick down and hold it out and say, excuse me, hand me the money. I can't even reach that far. My reach is not 36 inches. So I can get some money back to someone else. My gosh.
Thank you, Thomas.
Yes,
it is very bad.
And it may sound like low farce or high comedy or something in between, but that's Santa Cruz law, and it's really not too far from the kinds of discussions that are going to be coming up on Tuesday, in 2 days, at the Santa Cruz City Council in the evening session for item number 28. With me in the studio, as mentioned before, in case you just tuned into Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, is Bob Guzley. Hey, Bob.
Hi again, Robert. How are you?
I'm okay. A little achy in my arm. I don't know if it's arthritis or carpal tunnel syndrome, or maybe it's something the CIA fed me. I don't know.
Well, good luck.
Yes. Well, I'll keep shifting the mic from hand to hand. We're doing this one mic, as you may have heard before, because the other mic doesn't seem to be working too well. I'm not sure. Maybe somebody spit into the mic or something. Tuesday at City Council, comes back to Council, changes in the downtown ordinances, specifically with respect to street performers. Now, I know that way back in July, City Council, under pressure from a number of merchants, and particularly from a petition from Candy Jackson, which was being circulated, passed a series of ordinances that increased the so-called forbidden zones downtown for sitters, spare changers, tablers, and also street performers, from 6 feet for tablers and street performers and 10 feet for spare changers and sitters, all the way out to 14 feet, which really, as I mentioned before, I don't know if I mentioned it on this show, but I've mentioned it in other shows, criminalizes 95% of the space. And if you're in that space, and in fact, for spare changing, if you are requesting spare change of someone within 14 feet, within that forbidden zone, that's illegal. So you could actually yourself be outside, have squeezed your table right to the curb as a political tabler with your so-called display device, which would have to be at 14 feet, or right now it would have to be at 6 feet. But if you actually address anyone verbally inside the 6-foot area, or now, because of the changes this summer, have a sign that someone can see within the 6-foot area, somebody looks at that sign and interprets it as addressing that person, or the police so interpret it, that is also illegal. You're on the Downtown Commission charged with looking into these laws. I know you spent a lot of time, Bob, this summer and this fall, actually focusing rather narrowly on the street performers aspect of it, but really these laws have much broader impact, right?
Well, that's correct, Robert. Constitutionally, we've been told by the city attorney and others that the laws have to be crafted to deal with all forms of free speech, which include political tabling, panhandling, street performing, all of that under the same umbrella. The task that the Downtown Commission was given in July, when the rest of the new ordinances were passed, was to take a look at quote unintended consequences unquote toward the street performers, and that's what we did as a commission. There was an ad hoc commission formed of council members Riley, Porter, and then three members of the Downtown Commission, Commissioner Shattuck, Coonerty, and Mantle, got together, and they were going to look and then make recommendations to the Downtown Commission, which would look at it as a larger group and then make recommendations to the council, which we did, in fact. We, our task, that was given to us was, as you say, very narrow. It was looking at the effects of street performers only. There was some talk earlier that the Downtown Commission would be looking at other issues, and it was my understanding that this was the first of many.
Yeah, in fact, if you look at the resolution passed on July 23rd by the City Council, it specifies a whole mass of items that the Downtown Commission is supposed to look at. It was part of this feel-good, we're revitalizing the downtown, Smiley Riley's, it's all going to be taken care of, she's our mayor, perspective that covered a much broader swath than simply looking for, I guess in August you spent your whole time looking for exemption zones, so-called exemption zones, for I guess street performers and tablers, or for maybe it's just for display devices, so that the areas like the area in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz, maybe New Leaf Market, perhaps areas in front of Borders, which would be largely out of bounds, although there is some space left in front of Borders, even outside 14 feet, though again, 14 feet from benches and 14 feet from curbs and crosswalks tends to rule out a lot of that. Plus, much of the space is taken up with bicycle racks. So you didn't go into any of that, but you spent a month examining exemption zones in August. And what did you find on the exemption zones issue? What's wrong with just saying, oh, well, here's three special free speech areas. Actually, you actually considered 15 at one time, right?
Well, there was talk of considering up to 15. There was a proposal by Commissioner Mandel immediately to go for five exemption zones. That I believe it was five. Had been looked at by the subcommittee, and that was I believe it lost 6-1 with her being the only vote on that. Maybe 5-2. I can't remember exactly. I'd have to look at that, but. The majority of the Downtown Commission did not feel that exemption zones were any kind of solution whatsoever. And in fact, a lot of that was based on merchant response. Staff had gone around when this idea of exemption zones were going on, and they went to the areas where the exemption zones were and asked the merchants about their feeling of having an exemption zone in front of their place. Overwhelmingly, there was opposition to exemption zones. The merchants that weighed in on the matter said, well, why should everyone be crowded into space in front of our stores, and why should we bear the brunt of any sort of congregation that's going on? If you have a long Pacific Avenue, there's a lot more spaces for people to be if you leave them out widely. So the merchants were not in support of that either. We had 9 letters that came to the commission. 8 of those letters, interestingly enough, talked nothing about street performers. There was only one that talked about street performers, even though these exemptions were for them. So there's been this ongoing confusion about, what's the effect of street performers and things like this. And it's really never been quite clear as to, where the problem is.
You know, it looked to me early on, based upon the fact that these laws were rushed through in essentially 15 days by City Council. I mean, it's remarkable. I've never seen City Council hold four meetings on a subject to rush it through in 15 days, as they did with these ordinances in July. And then, of course, they got the Downtown Commission to hold five meetings in little over a month. You normally would hold two meetings in the space of, let's say, 35 days, because you have regular meetings every month. All pretty much taken up with, although I guess perhaps not entirely, a fractional aspect of this, the street perform, these exemption zones. And then, I guess, well, let's start with that. This process of focusing simply on this issue, to me, showed that what was going on here was that this was, A, was pre-written. And in fact, I learned this. Sherry Connable, another activist involved in this, and myself, both approached Ed Porter to ask him when these laws were written and, you know, what the story was, since Porter and Riley claimed that they were holding public hearings in order to get public input for the laws. They had some so-called stakeholders meetings in the month before. Right, they had two in 1 week, actually, and another one part of this rush process. They passed these laws and then ran them through to the Downtown Commission to look at the exemption zones in August. And what Porter told me was they were prepared. Well, he apparently told Sherry Connable that they were on the table before the whole discussion started. And I said, is it true that they were on the table, you know, last month? He said, oh, no, they were on the table long before that. And I was kind of dumbfounded. I said, wait a minute, you mean, I didn't really say this to him. It was in the middle of a council session recess. But I expressed great incredulity, or great sort of, I guess you might call it cynicism or whatever, that they would, the city council would claim to be involving the public in a process which was actually prefabricated with a few minor changes from the start. Like they exempted the professional bubble performers from the ordinance. But interestingly, the implication is that a child blowing bubbles is illegal. Now, you see, we haven't talked about some other aspects of the downtown ordinances not up on Tuesday, which have to do with having a ball on Pacific Avenue of any sort playing a ball game, whether that's bouncing a small rubber ball or playing a hacky sack or bubble blowing. You're not allowed to engage in the transmission of fluids. That's the way it's described in the ordinance. And whether this means pouring coffee or, I guess they're trying to go after spitting, but I mean, you know, why not say spitting? It's not clear what they were doing on this stuff. And I know that they had a long, as I said, a long bill of goods that they were passing on to the Downtown Commission to work on, sort of saying, here, you work out the kinks. And then in September, what they did was, after the Downtown Commission came back and said, exemption zones are really something we can't agree on, I guess, or we reject, I guess, is what it was.
That's correct. It was looked at pretty closely, and like I said, it really had no support across the board, neither from the street performers nor the merchants that were going to be affected, which is why, you know, it was dropped fairly quickly after, you know, the discussion was brought to the board, and the Downtown Commission moved on at that point. I did not appear on the Downtown Commission until September. There was a vacancy, and so I actually came into the process on the Downtown Commission after the ordinances had been passed and the ball had been handed over to the Downtown Commission.
Who appointed you, Bob?
Tim Fitzmaurice.
Interesting. I know that before you had been an opponent of the downtown ordinances as at least tailored in July. Didn't you speak at City Council or come out against them in informal discussions at that time?
I did. I was out of town for about 2.5 weeks in June, and I came back around the 2nd, the 3rd of July or something like this, and you know, a couple days later I read in the paper that something's going on here with the ordinances. I had no idea anything whatsoever was happening with this downtown. I was aware of Candy Jackson's petition that had been circulating around town, but I didn't know that it was headed toward an impetus for legislation in any form. When I got back, I found this out. I'm a member of the SCAN steering committee, and I called a couple other members. I said, what's up with this? Do you know anything about it? Some people did, some people didn't. We got together. We made a statement in opposition to the process that had ensued because it had occurred so quickly. There was going to be a first reading on July the 9th, and we got together very quickly. Emily Riley and Ed Porter and Tim Fitzmaurice are all endorsed by SCAN and had been our goal and hope that we would have been able to talk to them ahead of time But the pace of things was so quick that our first chance to show opposition to this was when I made a statement in front of the city council on the day of the first reading.
You know, I'm wearing two hats here, which is, and because we got someone coming in, so we're going to have to hear what they have to say, too. I'll talk about my two hats as soon as we take this caller. Let's see what we got here. Hey, caller, you're on the air.
I'm on the air. Is that what you said?
You are on the air. Do you want to be on the air?
No, not really.
Uh-oh.
Well, okay. I mean, this can go out over there. I'm all right with that. I was calling to see if you had the number for Food Not Bombs.
Yes, I do.
Great.
And I'd be happy to give it to you and everybody out there who wants to help Food Not Bombs.
I think that's an excellent idea. Hey, as long as I'm on the air, everybody spay and neuter your pets.
You
okay.
Got it.
Go ahead.
As long as the city council lets us, of course. 425-3345.
3345. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So as I said, I'm wearing two hats. One of these is I'm trying to be supportive of street performers working out their own process for evolving and maturing the voluntary guidelines that were set up in 1980 by a consensual group of 35 street performers led by Tom Noddy, Jan Libby, Morgami, and others. And my other hat is a more familiar one to those of you who are listening on the radio as an advocate of civil rights for poor people on the streets. And to some extent, this puts me at cross purposes at times with some of the street performers, because some of them are, you know, not interested particularly in the rights of hacky sackers or skateboarders or young people or panhandlers. In fact, they want to clearly distinguish themselves from these groups because they regard them as, shall we say, antagonizing the public and so forth. But I think that in the main, the same kinds of false arguments used against street performers have also been used against these groups, namely that there is some sort of problem created that existing laws against disturbing the peace, trespass, blocking the sidewalk, even terrorist threats have been used against street performers when the police have a mind to. When Bob Duran sung shoplifting at the bookshop Santa Cruz, he was arrested for terrorist threats on complaint by Stuart Martin of the ID building, who had a creative twist to his lyrics. But the point is that there are existing laws to deal with problems, and the real problems that many people brought to some of the meetings this summer was that the police, for some reason, were cracking down on street performers and other individuals on the street. I guess some construed this as an attempt to respond to merchant concerns. Some suggested, I did among others, that the desire to defeat Proposition P, which was the proposal to cut back the... the tax that funds social services, in an attempt to get merchants in alliance against this cutback, they were going to be thrown a bone, that there was a, quote, perception of problems downtown, and to deal with this, the city council would make some essentially public relations gestures at the expense, unfortunately, of poor people, street performers, tablers, young people, people who hang out downtown and who are not necessarily there to shop and leave. So, to me, a lot of the essence, the problem, well, the real fundamental thing behind this is it's an attack on poor people, and the street performers just happen to be drawn in because, as you were saying, Bob, you have to have laws that meet constitutional muster and are content neutral, and therefore you want to say, oh, we're not just going after this particular group because of their appearance or this particular group because of their give-me-some-money speech, even if it's nonviolent, even if it's not even particularly obnoxious, but even silent, because the latest round of this downtown ordinance changes made it illegal to silently hold up a sign. Would you agree that the real targets here aren't really street performers at all?
Well, that's an interesting... Hello, test? Okay. That's an interesting question, and... I haven't hypothesized a whole lot in this process. I don't know if you've noticed my comments at the mic and so on. They've all been process-based. Every single comment that I have made has been in opposition to the process that's occurred. That doesn't mean that I don't have strong feelings one way or the other about the ordinances and things like that. I just feel that, first of all, a process has to be developed where all voices can be heard. In that process, I would make my voice heard like others about it, but I put process paramount to everything that's involved. And I'm not avoiding your question, I'm just saying that, and this has been something that I've actually been at odds with other people on this, because I've continued to say we need to deal with the process first. We need, in order to be able to say our voices, or to say what we believe, we have to have a fair process that's involved in that. And if we just give up and say, oh, well, the city council is going ahead anyway, let's do whatever, let's respond to whatever they want, let their agenda ride, I think that that's a mistake. As I said before, when we the SCAN Steering Committee came forward in opposition to the process that was ensuing, we gave a recommendation for a process, and if it's okay, I'd just like to briefly say what that process was. It was a sort of a four-step process for dealing with community issues like this. The first one said that city staff should gather and analyze data. This is something that we've been saying since July. In other words, we wanted data about what was going on. That could be police data. It can be complaints from the downtown host or their information, which I was able to get at some point, but not a very easy process. It can be logging of calls to council members. There's a variety of things that could be done. In other words, this seems to me sort of like the kind of basic understanding that you learn maybe as a freshman in college, is that if you're going to solve a, quote, problem, you first have to identify it, present the case that you have a problem, and so on. And unless that's done, it doesn't seem like you should be going any direction whatsoever.
I want you to go through those other three steps as well. But are you finished with the first step, or are you still working on that?
No, that's fine.
Because I want to comment on the first step and kind of take it step by step, because I like the SCAN resolution when I heard it, much as I have my disagreements with some of the internal SCAN workings and how it's worked in the past. I'm kind of curious what SCAN's been doing recently. I haven't seen any public statements on this issue. I understand you were kind of muzzled into silence by a determination not to hold any, well, I don't know what the steering committee is doing, but I understand at the last general meeting they took no, you know, issues, positions, at least in terms of projects for the next year, which they usually do. Some of that, I guess, because of their budget problems and their membership stuff. I'm going to ask you about what SCAN's doing, so I'll keep that on hold for a moment, because I want to stick to the process you're talking about. I mentioned the rushed process this summer, and I think you've mentioned it too. I also mentioned the crammed process of the Downtown Commission. Again, all this designed to allow the Downtown Commission to rush through a process in August while the council was on vacation and zip back in September with recommendations that they could pass an emergency resolution or normal resolution to deal with the fact that suddenly there's no space on the sidewalk for street performers or tablers, as well as, frankly, anyone else who wants to sit down and doesn't have the money to go to a street cafe, or who is poor and needs to have a sign or needs to beg. And indeed, Paul Brundell has pointed out in documents from the Community Action Board that panhandling is a significant part of the livelihood of a number of people in this town. That's just how it is in these hard times. So you guys came back with a resolution that didn't address, to me, the main problem, which is poor people, but it did address this special interest group that the city council was particularly interested in pleasing, and I like the special interest group, street performers, and I'm advocating for them, and I believe people should come to city council on Tuesday and support them. I want to keep saying that because, again, it's me with my two hats getting all, you know, switching back and forth real fast. But this bad process seemed to me to continue throughout the next few months. Now, you didn't have the hurried process. You might even say that you guys got damn right leisurely in some respects at the Downtown Commission that marked the summer's five meetings in 35 days of the Downtown Commission. But what you had instead was you had this Downtown Issues Working Group, which you mentioned, two council members, three Downtown Commission members, first of all, meeting without notice of any adequate sort, so most people didn't know it. Second of all, arresting a person for trying to record what was going on for free radio in a meeting that would otherwise be considered, the public were invited. Some have claimed, well, it's not a Brown Act meeting because it was two subcommittees of a subcommittee that was not created, but bloop, bloop. And I think they're wrong on that. But besides the fact, when you invite people to a public meeting, if it's held in a public venue, then you have to allow people to record. You have to allow media to record. That's just the rule. And in fact, I was arrested, held on a misdemeanor charge, barred from the meeting. No recording was ever made of that meeting. And Ed Porter went on his merry way. Charges were never preferred in court. I just, you know, essentially had to suffer, and the listeners, more important, had to suffer the disability of not really knowing on what went on in that meeting except by report from Sherry Connable, and possibly by other members of the Downtown Commission. Then at the next hearing, you heard, you may remember, on the 19th of November, when the Downtown Issues Working Group met again. Maybe you weren't at that meeting.
I was at that meeting.
Yeah, remember, there
I
were
the first meeting.
Right. There were complaints that, you know, we hadn't heard about this. You know, many performers that we asked specifically. So the participants weren't involved. Then on November 26th, the third meeting, actually it was a meeting of the subcommittee of the Downtown Issues Working Group, maybe the Downtown Commission, where you actually put together the subcommittee, not you, but this group, the subcommittee put together all the proposals that eventually you put together, Bob, and voted on at your December 2nd Downtown Commission meeting. No one that I heard of was ever told about this meeting. It was done almost completely. Then on December 2nd, you came back. You guys thrashed it out in a public meeting. And again, as I told you at the time, I heard a lot of people making a lot of suggestions, and you apparently made a lot of notes of what people were doing. But very little of that made its way into the final document. It was as though a document had been created beforehand, just as the City Council's Ed Porter rules were created beforehand, and they were sort of pushed through. There wasn't a process of legislative joint lawmaking that happened in concert with the community. Now, as it happened, I like what you did. Then you brought it to City Council, and City Council said, fuck you. Or am I putting it too harshly?
I think that's a fair assessment, more or less. There's a lot of stuff there, Robert. I was in the middle of this, and I can come back to the four items of process, but I do want to address what you said. I was aware of some of it. I'm only aware I wasn't there for your arrest, the taking of the tape recorder, and so on. I can't remember why I was not at that particular meeting. I may not have known about it myself. I'm not sure. It is true. I looked up that it's an ad hoc committee. It is not subject to the Brown Act. You know, that's, you know, ethically, that's another question. But legally, they are not required to, you know, make it public at that point. Yeah, sure. Let's take a call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio. Where you were.
Okay. Regarding the other meetings, I don't know. This is a little difficult for me to follow. I'm sure it's very difficult for listeners to follow here. But the Downtown Issues Working Group was an ad hoc committee, and they were meeting to put something together to bring to the Downtown Commission. I was not on that committee. There were three members that were from the Downtown Commission on that committee. Because of the Brown Act, anything that they put together to bring to the Downtown Commission for a proposal can only be discussed among them. They can't be discussed with other commission members. So I was curious as to what they were. I had no idea what direction they were going to go. I know I was looking for, I was looking for, you know, a mediation approach. I was looking for, you know, at minimum a rollback to the 94 so we could begin discussion at that point. And so I got together with another commission member, Kathy Bisbee, and I said, you know, what do you think's going on? What's happening? And she says, I don't know where they're going to go. And then a couple of days before the Downtown Commissioners meeting, we saw what they were going to come out with.
And I want to hear about that, but again, focusing on the process, because that's the first thing you expressed with the SCAN concerns.
Sure.
And what we're kind of using as a focal point for putting this together. If you are, as a Brown Act, not allowed to get into the subcommittee meetings, it seems that us, as the public, under the same Brown Act, should be assured access to that kind of meeting. And it seems to me, again, I want to emphasize that whether the December 4th Downtown Issues Working Group meeting was Brown Act formally required. The Brown Act, for those of you who don't know, is a law that protects the public and requires public officials to open up their meetings to the public, to let people know when they're going to happen, to give them an opportunity to speak, not to evict them from the meetings, to let the media in. It's a very important act, and City Council in the last 4 years has been getting increasingly abusive of the Brown Act, and I've actually filed Brown Act complaints, which were not fulfilled in court because I didn't have enough legal representation to do it. But I think people who look at the plain wording of the Brown Act can see what's going on. Your interpretation that ad hoc committees don't count, and I appreciate that reading, was at variance with what was found to be the case with the Citizens Police Review Board back in 2000 when they created a subcommittee and the city council created a subcommittee, and maybe it was they were lasting a little longer. Maybe they lasted a year rather than 6 months, and maybe that was the distinction under the law. But again, the rule is if you open, and I'm talking ethically, we're talking legally, if you open a meeting to the public, and two city council members are at that meeting on a subcommittee, I don't think that you can close it down to the public unless you're discussing personnel matters or unless you're discussing litigation. Now, then might be some closed session might be allowed. But just to do that is, to me, it's not just unethical, but it violates, and I guess, of course, I have to find you the law that it violates, and I have not yet found that law, nor, frankly, I'm not entirely clear where to look. All you attorneys, call in. Getting back to the process, then, are you saying that you don't really see a lot of problems with the process in the last 4 months? You felt the Downtown Commission went through an okay process? It looks like we may disagree on this.
Well, let me finish up here. First of all, I'm completely for an open meeting. I don't think that the public should be shut out of those meetings. So that wasn't my point. My point was, you know, if we were going to quibble over whether it was legal, that I believe it is legal.
It's not Brown Act amenable, but it doesn't mean it's legal to exclude a member of the public. In other words, you there may be other laws in operation once you've declared a public meeting. You cannot exclude the public and the media unless some other factor is involved.
Okay. So anyway, here, and I want to try to clear this up. This is getting pretty muddled. Anyway, for that particular meeting, I could attend it as a downtown commissioner. What I'm saying is that there was a meeting after that I believe you're referring to with the three members on the commission, and that meeting, to my understanding, was held for them to craft something to bring to the downtown commission to vote on. That's just simply a meeting of three commissioners getting together to come up with a proposal to bring to the overall group. We couldn't attend that meeting legally because of the Brown Act, had no idea what was going on. So,
what about the responsibilities of those commissioners to open it to the public?
I don't think so. You know, they're putting a proposal together, and to have the public involved in that proposal per se, the exact proposal, is that what you're wondering about?
Well, what I'm wondering about is the fact that there was much ballyhoo made at the city council meetings in the summer that there was going to be an ongoing public process. And it seems to me that unless the public is involved in the key point where the proposals are actually drawn up, and there was very little discussion at the meeting I was kicked out of proposals. There was some discussion, I guess, at the November 19th meeting of the Downtown Issues Working Group, which people were not, again, invited to with any clarity. And then, as I said, 6 days later, a whole raft of proposals were put together where it wasn't clear, for example, that those proposals even came out of the public comment. It seems like they came out of the minds of the three commissioners. And again, a lot of them were good proposals. But it would seem to me this should be done in at least an accessible and transparent process, not one that happens, you know, behind closed doors. Because even though it goes back to the Downtown Commission, as it did on December 2nd, we found that, for example, Kathy Bisbee only allowed 2 minutes per person to talk, that most people did not have access to those proposals. There was one copy of the proposal sitting on the table, and I happened to have a copy of it. But most people didn't know what the hell was being discussed, and they certainly weren't involved in putting them together. To claim that they had any real role in putting them together would be, I think, to falsify what went on. So my point was, the bad process you're talking about in SCAN that has been a part of these downtown ordinance creations continued. And we're talking, by the way, with Bob Guzley on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, in case you want to tune into this, what you may regard as a completely convoluted and unintelligible conversation. You can give a call to 427-3772. The nub of all this is, come to City Council meeting on Tuesday, folks, and tell these suckers to wise up. This move-along musician's law that says you can only be in one place for an hour, and then you got to move along for 24 hours and go 100 feet, sucks the big weenie. So does the 10-foot zones, which are an increase. We have another call, and Bob is going to answer that.
Okay. Hi, caller. You're on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Caller?
Do you hear me?
Yes, we hear you loud and clear now. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, what I'm curious about is, with the street performers, how can you draw a line? I mean, look, everybody's got a right to do what they want to do. Everybody's got a right to live. I mean, you know, I understand there are issues, and the rules they're putting together don't sound so great, but, I mean, I go down there, I'm a musician. I have good ears. You know, it's like 90% of these people don't tune their instruments. I've seen people playing guitars missing two strings. You know, it sounds like crap. And then terroristic threats. Well, you know, hey, maybe a guy's out there singing this song with all kinds of foul lyrics, and people are down there with their little children. Or maybe you got some hip-hop guys who are, you know, going to sing about shooting people or something. Which probably ought to be stopped anyhow, but that's another issue, and it's, you know, and then we got free speech. You know, it's like, what are we going to do? You're going to have an entertainment commission that, you know, says, well, this, you know, this type of performance can be allowed and it's okay, but this can't, or whatever, you know? And I mean, if you had a business down there, and you had some fool sitting in front of your place beating on a guitar that was missing three strings, and he smelled like a goat, I mean, you know, what the hell are you going to do? I identify with the people down there playing. I can understand that they want to do this stuff and they want to make money. You know, they want to, you know, I mean, it's certainly more honorable than, you know, sitting there, you know, panhandling.
Well, caller, you've put together a lot of hypothetical situations, and I've been asking
for...
Well,
as far as hypothetically, you know, hypothetically, what's real is 90% of the musicians down there do not qualify to be playing anywhere other than in a room somewhere rehearsing by themselves. I mean, maybe that's a
little
harsh.
Well, if we had a survey of, you know, all folks downtown and that was maybe evident, then that may be a starting point to have a discussion about that. I don't necessarily think that's true. That's not been my experience down there. And, you know, I would like to see, you know, some evidence to that support. I don't really think that's a problem. I have not heard... You're actually the first person that I've heard bring that up, that that's a problem of 90% of the musicians down there. I'd like to hear from some other musicians out there that that believe that's the case, because I don't.
You know, I think, caller, you've raised a lot of important issues here, because, you know, these are natural reactions to, well, when you see these issues discussed in the papers, you sort of assume there's a big problem, and maybe you feel yourself that there's a problem when you walk down in town. I mean, have you felt yourself that you think street performers need to be restricted?
I think that to a certain extent, if I owned a store down there and a couple of these people I heard were out in front of my place, yeah, I would absolutely be really upset, because they just stink.
Are you familiar, caller, with the downtown voluntary performers guidelines?
No.
Okay, well, that's interesting, because it's and certainly not your fault that you aren't. In fact, it's really a testament to the inefficiency and a lack of appropriate behavior by the hosts. You know about the hosts, right? The folks in purple who walk around downtown with little...
Right, yeah.
I mean, they're supposed to be kind of serving as the, you know, the hospitality squad, giving out information, helping people, kind of preventing police problems. And when a problem with the street performers comes up, to, you know, try to act as sort of a mediating force in a certain way. But even before the hosts, and perhaps more important than the hosts, is the voluntary street performers guidelines, which actually I have here in the studio, and perhaps they should be read at some point. But what they say in essence, and they were put together consensually by street performers, they aren't laws, they're just recommendations, but they have the force of peer pressure behind them, and street performers kind of tell each other this is kind of what you should do, particularly more regular street performers, and that is you space yourself out so you don't play on top of other people. If another musician wants a good space, or, as you say, if a merchant is, you know, I can't stand this music, maybe it's the greatest music, but I keep hearing the same song for the next hour and a half, you can go out and say, look, I can't get rid of you by telling you to leave because there's a free speech issue, but what I can do is ask you, as a good neighbor, because we're all trying to leave here, can you move after an hour? And that doesn't mean you'll have to move, but if it's put in a certain way, you'll get an hour to play, and then you'll move. So this is what has been used for the last 21 years by street performers and some merchants who know about it on the streets, rather than
call the cops, you're disturbing the peace, it's excessive noise, etc., etc.
Well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and perhaps that, you know, is having some effect, but you know.
See, it's kind of unique to Santa Cruz, and the thing that I notice, you don't get, as Bob has said, stats that say we have had 48 complaints about street performers who wouldn't move this year, or there have been 7 guys smelling like goats, with, you know, playing with 2 strings missing outside, which you would think the merchants are pretty well organized, they could put together if, in fact, this was happening. Now, some would say, well, merchants are afraid of retaliation, but it doesn't even have to be done in terms of the specific store if they wanted
right.
to cover their ass, you know?
Yeah.
And because they haven't presented this data, it looks to a lot of us like they are trying, that what's happened this summer was that the city council decided it just wanted to throw a bone to the most, frankly, loud and bigoted merchants who were saying, oh, look, there was a stabbing downtown. What a stabbing has to do with street performers or even panhandlers, I don't know. You know, or, you know, there are these kids hanging out and they're being rude and abusive to women, which is not an issue that's inconsiderable if you're a woman downtown and if you work downtown or if you're just a person who doesn't like that. And I'm one of the people who doesn't like that. But the idea then of criminalizing everybody downtown to get rid of particular problems rather than using specific ordinances that already exist to do that, because you want to show the merchants that you're such a pro-merchant person, pisses me off big time. And that's been my point.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, it's probably going to get worse before it gets better because the economy is so bad that everything's going down the tubes and people are looking for any excuse they can to, you know, anything that might be causing their business not to do well. You got stores closing left and right down there. It's actually pretty scary.
And a lot of that has to do with these incredible rents. I mean, I looked in the paper today and I didn't look at the merchants' rents, although I think they're probably around the same. You know, housing prices are still going up. I mean, the profiteers couldn't give a shit about the economy. Apparently, they've got a store of rich people ready to buy these homes. So it seems to me that...
Oh, yeah.
Sorry?
I said, oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I think we really have to look elsewhere for the solutions and start blaming homeless people, poor people, or even bad street performers. I'm not saying that these can't be problems in a particular area where behavior is a problem, but I would say, in all fairness... And frankly, to stop the kind of scapegoating that I think is just, well, it's wrong. It's a violation of basic civil rights, but it's also stupid because it doesn't deal with the problems. We got to get the statistics first. And I believe that was another part of the Downtown Commission's recommendation that it came out with on December 2nd. And I think SCAN, way back in July, was looking for similar stats to say, just, you know, what are the extent of the complaints? Where are they? You know, what? Let's get some, as Bob was saying, data.
Well, I think I think the data is a good idea. Behavior problems, you know, that's something you're just going to have to watch, you know. The ordinances, you know, I mean, it's like, hey, you know, the bubble guy is outlawed because he crosses the spitting rule, you know. I mean, you know, the bubble guy was cool.
Actually, the bubble guy is not outlawed. There is an Ed Porter exception to professional bubble performers. But if you, sir, attempt to blow bubbles downtown, though I have not heard of anybody being arrested under this, that is, in fact, technically illegal. And people have been arrested for chalking on the sidewalk with erasable chalk.
Yeah, well, you know, by the same token, if somebody with HIV starts blowing bubbles, you know, and a bubble pops in your eye, you could feasibly get AIDS. You know, I kind of understand that, but, you know, I mean...
I hear you. That's a little far-fetched, and you would think it would be in the same category as if a guy with HIV... is fucking some person, if you'll forgive the candor, and doesn't inform the partner about it, then he is guilty of manslaughter or even murder, you know, but or inflicting harm on a person. But this is, it's not the same thing.
Somebody like that would know better than to do that.
Yeah,
you know, there's, you know, some intelligent regulations have to be come up with, you know.
And see, I think we have intelligent regulations. We have the voluntary street performers guidelines, we have existing laws, and we have a community that's now alert and willing to talk about it. Last Monday, stakeholders, downtown commissioners, including Bob Guzley here, even 2 council members, street performers, all got together to work on problems from many different perspectives. The city council is ignoring that entire dialogue. The 2 council members said, we're not going to hold off and wait. We're just going to pass laws that criminalize more of the sidewalk and push this move along. Caller, can I thank you for calling in and move on? Because I want to open up the lines.
Yeah, absolutely fine.
Thanks a lot, caller.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So
This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Again, the phone lines are 427-3772. And if you want to call me off air with a message, I won't pick it up till probably later in the afternoon. Give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's the line for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. I'm in the studio with Bob Guzley, Downtown Commission, where Bob came in a little early because he's got to rush off pretty soon, so I want to get as much of him in as I can. Bob, you were talking about SCAN, and you're showing the kind of concern SCAN had, mainly for process, but I think a number of SCAN members also heard them talking afterward, arguing with Fitzmaurice and Porter and other people that the content of the laws was just bad. And I think SCAN opposed the earlier laws in 94 that did the same thing, which were a bone to the merchants, a PR gesture to the merchants to try to solidify an alliance. Kennedy was mayor at that time. And essentially, most of them did not involve abusive behavior. It involved simply being present on the sidewalk within 10 feet of a building, within 6 feet if you had a display device or engaging in non-commercial activity. You want to continue, Bob, with what you were discussing, or do you want to react to what you've heard so far, or do you want to bring up something else?
I just want to finish off, since I was sort of in the middle at the beginning of the proposal for a process to deal with these community issues, and I'll try to be brief here. It was, number one was to gather gather data. Number two was then to publish this data for citizen review. Then citizens can take a look at the data, and there can be a debate about the data. I don't think the argument ends with the data. Once you have data, there will be people that disagree about how it's interpreted, what it means, and so on. But then you have that debate. The third process would be to facilitate a committee comprised of representatives of the major stakeholders. That would not be myself. This is one thing that I actually agree somewhat with Council Member Kennedy on, is I believe the people that should be involved in this are the ones that supposedly are at front and center of the conflict, so to speak, merchants, street musicians, panhandlers, political tablers, residents, etc. I do believe that there is a place for city officials in that process, and that's watching the process and seeing it so that they can get an idea of who's operating in good faith and who isn't, as opposed to, well, you guys go meet in a room and come back with something. And then maybe one group stonewalls and doesn't move forward, and the other group does. So that's item three. The fourth one would be, if that didn't work, then you bring the general community into the process, and everybody talks about it and deals. Now, that takes some time. There's no question about it taking some time, but I believe that in the long run, it saves things, saves time, creates a stronger community, is fairer, involves everyone. And also this sort of four-step process that I call it, anywhere along the line, the process might end. So, for instance, when you try to gather data and you find that there's no data there, maybe that's, that's the end of it. If you, have the meeting and people discuss data, maybe you come to consensus that, well, there's really nothing to do at that point. So you don't have to go farther.
I think the issue here, unfortunately, is there's a hell of a lot of time being essentially expended on a non-problem. And the real problems, as I understand it, were vandalism, shoplifting, violence, sexual harassment. There was another one. And we've heard some discussion, and it's the only thing that has any conceivable relevance to the so-called, to these laws about forbidden zones in front of buildings and from benches and cafes, the gauntlet effect. And occasionally you hear merchants saying or writing to Emily Riley and Ed Porter and their emails, because I finally got their emails after some dickering with Martine Bernal, the assistant city manager, and it now, by the way, is law that they have to provide emails as well as letters, make a record of that, but it took some doing this summer. But the claim of a gauntlet effect, it's a nice phrase, but, it sort of smacks to me of, we don't want them Negras in our part of town, sort of thing. I don't want to be too close to them Negras. I don't want to be too close to them poor people. And they aren't well-behaved enough. And I don't want to see their signs, and I don't want to hear them asking for spare change. There is a line which people cross if they get abusive in asking for money, or if they follow you, or if they keep repeating the charge, or if they raise their voice,
or anything else. That is behavior that can be articulated and can, and actually is currently articulated in the current laws, although it could be done better in terms of specific laws I've seen in other cities about abusive panhandling. Instead, what we have are the Kennedy-Rotkin-Matthews laws. Those are the three council members currently on the council who were also on the council back in 1994 that criminalized just being there. Being on the sidewalk after dark with a sign is now illegal. It was illegal. Actually, it wasn't illegal before. Signs were exempted. Now, apparently, signs are considered terrorist activity, or let's say abusive behavior, which is preposterous. This is so much a gentrification aesthetics issue where the aesthetics of an increasingly conservative and right-wing, I wouldn't say constituency, but I guess it's part of the constituency that the city council responds to, is becoming the lead voice for the community, not, you know, as perhaps articulated by the Sentinel. Maybe that is the best way to look at it, and in fact kind of shows up the whole thing. Anyway, the 4 points that you brought up, Bob, that SCAN brought to the city council and said, look, get a good process before, and you might come up with a good result, but you certainly, you know, even a good result or bad result, you come up with a fair result, one that involved the participation of the community. The Downtown Commission came up with its own proposals. You want to talk a little bit about those?
Sure. Getting back to that question, and I think that's great that you're calling me on the process issue as well. My understanding, I remember I came into the middle of the situation at the Downtown Commission, so I know some details from what people have told me. I will only speak in certainty on those things, on those meetings that I attended, and I know for sure what went on. But the Downtown Commission group, getting back to what I was saying before, they had two possible proposals that they were going to bring to the, this was the Downtown Working Group, I guess, that they were going to bring to the Downtown Commission, the three members that were on the Downtown Issues Working Group that were also on the commission. So I saw that. I was not a member of that. Items 3, 4, and 5 of the Downtown Commission recommendations, which were, number 3 had to do, number 3 had to do with the Buskers Guild and a facilitators group making monthly reports to the Downtown Commission as they continue to work out their process. I'll read it word for word here. It says, direct the Downtown Commission to encourage and oversee a process with interested parties who wish to form a street performers guild and those who wish to facilitate conflicts arising around street performers. Both of these groups should make monthly reports to the Downtown Commission starting February 27, 2003. Downtown Commission will evaluate the overall effectiveness essentially 9 months later, and the City Council will then consider the Downtown Commission's recommendation. Item 4 was about a mediation, public policy mediation project from 1996 that we supported. Should this other process not work, this was the backup. And then number 5, we requested that Santa Cruz Police Department supply written monthly reports to the Downtown Commission regarding the number of calls, citations, and arrests in the Downtown Commercial District, with data also reporting on these calls for Pacific Avenue only. What was brought to the Downtown Commission as a whole was essentially items 1 and 2. I worked with another member on the commission to craft items 3, 4, and 5 as friendly amendments. As I said before, because of the Brown Act, I wasn't able to discuss these with anybody else. I specifically drew my suggestions from past testimony from other people and put those together. As you said, in the meeting that this came together, when this proposal, I had no idea where people were going. I had to wait and see the direction that they were going, and then I put this, I was the one that put it forward before it was seconded.
And I like the proposal. I mean, the first two, for those who are interested, was to change the non-displayed commercial display device law so that, you know, it allowed for more flexibility for street performers, and also allowed them to accept donations in guitar cases. We have an incoming call. Hi there, you're on Free Radio.
Hi there, my name is David Brown, and I'm just calling in on a topic in Manteca, California, and I just wanted to see if anybody would want to talk a little bit about the homeless issue up in Manteca.
You know, we do, David. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Are you calling through the producer here, or are you calling on your own dime?
I'm calling on my own dime.
I wonder if I can get you to call in half an hour.
Sure.
And the reason I ask you that is we have in the studio guests. We're talking about these crazy new anti-homeless street performer laws. You've got an anti-camping ban that is coming up in your town, which I want to talk about. But I want to be able to use this guest before he leaves to give him the greatest possible access. Would it be inconvenient for you to call back?
Yeah, I could try that. Thanks.
All right, so listeners, listen in at about 10 to 12 for David Brown,
mm-hmm.
who's going to be calling from Manteca, California. Thanks, David.
Thanks for your time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, let's see, where were we? Do you remember?
I was just sort of giving a genesis of how the Downtown Commission, the specific proposals came together. The first two items, which basically said don't do anything, just keep the 94 ordinances and then take a look at the display ordinance, came from the working group members on the Downtown Commission, and then the five proposals, specifically the last three, were added later at that particular meeting.
And what we're talking about here, for those who don't know all these laws, is the problem I'm having with it, the entire discussion at the Downtown Commission is, instead of considering the priorities of people downtown, they are considering the priorities of the City Council in patching up bad ordinances that were passed in haste this summer, and they aren't returning to the basic concern, at least a number of people on the Downtown Commission, was that there is no real need. Well, maybe this is not their concern. This is the belief of some of us, that there's no need, real need, for these ordinances. If we're going to reassure merchants, let's find some better way to do it than criminalizing innocent behavior. And let's really look at the data behind not just where you can place a display table, because that's what you essentially spent 6 months on, but what about the rest of the sidewalk as far as criminalizing people for innocent behavior like sitting and peaceful spare changing? And also, what about real issues that concern street performers, like being able to display your artwork and your craft without being arrested by police or harassed, a right that's acknowledged in such a huge metropolis as New York City under the Letterman decision, but Santa Cruz, that great progressive mecca, which can't seem to get together any significant protests against the war in Iraq, get it together, folks, doesn't seem also to be able to defend its own civil rights for the people who live here. You know, I mean, and the Downtown Commission, instead of addressing the broader issue or sticking to its guns and saying it's not the exemption zones, stupid. It's not these ordinances are a smokescreen for a message the City Council wants to send to reassure the community downtown, or to reassure a part of the community downtown. There's got to be a better way to do that. And by the way, I'm going to be discussing this issue today at Wired Wash Cafe, as hopefully other street performers will too, at a meeting that's, again, a sort of a prologue to the City Council meeting that will be coming up on Tuesday, day after tomorrow, 7 o'clock. City Council has Mayor Riley has placed this conveniently at the end of the agenda. Item 28 is the next to the last item. In substance, it is the last item. So you're not going to be allowed to come in at 7 o'clock and, you know, leave at a reasonable hour. You're going to have to wait and wait and wait, it looks like, unless all these other laws, and I think there are three or four other laws that are going to be voted on first, having to do with zoning, this and that, get passed. So, SCAN. Where does SCAN stand on this issue now? Are they coming out with anything? Is a SCAN member going to be speaking at City Council on Tuesday? Have they been lobbying the City Council? Are we going to get some new people on SCAN instead of these old hacks? What's going on here?
To my knowledge, unless something comes up in the next 2 days or so, somebody brings something forward, I don't believe SCAN as an organization is making a statement on this particular committee or on this particular decision. It's I consider it a conflict of interest for myself to sort of wear both hats at the particular meeting. I will be speaking as a downtown commissioner. I don't know what I'll be saying. I might break out of this one chant thing of complaining about the process and actually address some of the specific issues, although I don't know, as you well know, I'll probably be given the same 2 minutes that everyone else will, and
3 minutes.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's, there's really something I think that we need to look at in an overall, you know, again, I hate to be this, you know, just repetitive voice about the process, but, you know, the whole scene, when you get to city council, you say your two words, and no one really has to respond to any valid questions that you have. The next speaker comes up, and they just go on, and then that's it. That's got to be addressed in some manner. I wish I had a solution for that. I've thought about various things, but, you know, we need a dialogue, not, you know, 40 or 50 monologues.
Yeah, and of course that process usually best happens at the committee level, where you can actually draw in a lot of public testimony and have discussions with people. I've encouraged the Citizens Police Rah-Rah Board, or Rubber Stamping Board, or Regurgitating Board, as they are not known to the public, but as I call them, which meets, by the way, tomorrow at 5:30 in the evening, for those who are interested in going there, to begin the kind of process whereby, if an item is on the agenda, staff makes a report, there's public comment, council members discuss it, and then there's a second public comment period, a briefer one, where everybody gets a minute to kind of respond, and there's a sort of a semblance of a dialogue where people can have some input. I also have suggested time limits on council members and staff speaking, because there's a huge amount of time. These people go on forever, man. They don't care if, you know, the clock turns two, and then they claim, we got no time for the public. This is, you know, the kind of post-Bush democracy, I don't know what we call it, Kennedyocracy, Rotkinocracy, whatever you want to say, it's now Rileyocracy, I'm afraid, that we don't want. We want to have a real process of discussion. Bob, how much longer can you stay? I'd like to have you stay for as long as you can. What's
5 minutes.
Got 5 minutes. So if you want to talk to Bob Guzley, downtown commissioner, who... I think, if the truth be known, opposes the downtown ordinances. I suspect this is his position. But most important, he's talked about the process of opposing how this has all happened. You better give a call to 427-3772 if you want to come and discuss this later. Wired Watch Cafe at 2 o'clock. Street performers are meeting and sympathizers. Welcome to come, as far as I'm concerned. I think this is the time for people to come and support the city council meeting. But what's coming up at the city council, we're going to be talking about in detail probably after Bob leaves, in order to give Bob, I'm going to give Bob the mic and give him a chance to make his last shot about whatever other considerations he has here. I'd like to put this at another time when we have more time with you, Bob, to talk about where things have been going in the last decade in Santa Cruz and the failure of the Crone Fitzmaurice sugar regime, or regime change, as we had, and we thought it was a regime change. But I'm going to give it to you, the mic, to kind of sound off, ad lib, if you want. Do you want that? How are you doing? You want quest?
I'm fine. I don't, this isn't the arena that, quite frankly, I'm particularly comfortable with. I went to the downtown commission sort of reluctantly, but, you know, I had a passion about this particular issue, and I went there. I don't, you know, I'm pleased with many of my co-members on the commission, pleasantly pleased with their openness to discuss issues and listen to my point of view and to hear their point of view as well. But, you know, the overall process, city government process, is something that I think that the community needs to look at. I mean, needs to sit down and start having meetings about, you know, a fair and open process. A more of a participatory democracy. Some of the things that I've heard about is going on in Argentina and Brazil and some places in Latin America. I would hate to see, have to get to the dire situation that many folks are in down there before we begin that process. But essentially that's what I'm advocating in the long run.
You're a Fitzmaurice's appointee, and I've said many a harsh word about Councilmember and former Mayor Tim Fitzmaurice, who has had me arrested, has gotten injunctions against me, and has refused, in my view, to fulfill his Green Party platform around basic issues like decriminalizing the homeless. On the other hand, he appointed you. Have you had conversations with Fitzmaurice about this issue recently that you think would give some hope to those of us who would suggest that? I mean, I know that he's the one who put forward there's a set of laws coming to the city council on Tuesday, which I'm going to itemize,
But the most interesting, well, one aspect of it, but it's interesting with Fitzmaurice is he proposed that there be a whole set of laws with the so-called move-along and a whole set without. The move-along is, as I've mentioned, they're perverting a voluntary guideline that the street performers agreed to and trying to make it mandatory. I think Ed Porter's hand is in this somewhere. But it was authored by Matthews at the council meeting. And I mentioned, you got to move along after 24 hours, after an hour, can't go back for 24 hours, have to move 100 feet if you have a display device, such as, there's sort of question whether a guitar would continue to be a display device. It might not be under the new ruling. But a political tabler, for example, would have to move along. Now, Fitzmaurice proposed that there be all these forbidden zones and various other changes with the move-along and without the move-along. So that indicated that he was at least trying to keep people sort of interested in coming back and not just protesting over the Christmas vacation. Fitzmaurice has been reelected, and I am very gloomy about the prospects with him. I mean, if he's the most liberal person on the council, it's time to move to Cuba, folks, or start marching to Baghdad, as the previous speaker suggested. If you've been listening to the show, there's a big... If you go to Europe, you can take a bus to Baghdad and be there to get bombed by the U.S. Pretty interesting approach. What do you think? You want to either good mouth or bad mouth him a bit?
Well, I do have to leave here shortly, and I'll leave on this note. It was definitely a sort of a touchy issue for me to pursue application on the Downtown Commission, knowing that I would be Mr. Fitzmaurice's appointee. I've disagreed on many things, and I was prepared to come to the conversation and sort of say that I hope you appoint me for reasons that you think I'll be a fair and receptive member on there, and not for any other reasons. And I was quite pleased when he initiated that conversation himself, and he said, look, I'm appointing you. I don't expect you to support me for city council, make an endorsement or anything like that. That was the extent of that conversation, and I did not endorse him for city council, and I was put on the council there.
Any hope about his supporting, I can't see any hope in his supporting decriminalization of all these zones, which it looks like he supports wholeheartedly, but what can we expect of him on Tuesday night, do you think?
That's a great question, Robert. I really don't know. I mean, there's
a cruddy question. I don't think you worry about what he does.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you're on the Downtown Commission. I'm going to retract that. I don't want to spend a lot of time trying to second-guess these council members. Bob, you have been really helpful coming to the studio. Much appreciated. If people want to get in touch with you, are you when they pass the forbidden zones, which they will, I'm pretty sure, and we can, and I'm out there sitting in the forbidden zones protesting and getting my ass ticketed. What's the next step? And I'm asking not as a downtown commissioner, but just as a person. Do you see protest, boycott, let it all go, silent representations of city council is the way to go? Any thoughts? Or am I jumping the gun? Do you want to wait till after Tuesday?
No, I will end on this count. I don't know what the answer is from here. I'm prepared as a downtown commissioner to listen to recommendations from street performers and those that are directly involved in the process, as long as it doesn't negatively affect another group themselves. I don't want to, play a shell game and give street performers, some special privileges that would, adversely affect other people. But I'm willing to listen to that. I'm willing to consider all kinds of options, and I think I'm ready to listen.
All right. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Robert.
Yeah, you're on Free Radio.
Hello, Robert. How are you? This is Mark Halfmoon.
Hey, Mark. Anything you want to say to Bob before he hits the road? Mark, you're, of course, chair of the Citizens Police Rah-Rah Board, as I like to call it.
Yeah. How you doing, Bob?
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm fine. I was listening to your discussion, and, it's getting to a point with me and just a lot of people I talk to that we are starting to feel like this whole downtown thing, a lot of people have known this for a long time, that this is bullshit. This is total and complete bullshit. I mean, we are dealing with major...
Tell me how you feel about it, Mark.
Well, look, we're living in these Ashcroftian times, right? And I don't think that's a good idea, a wise idea, for any progressive or liberal, and I think everybody on the city council are Democrats. It's not a good time to start bending to the Republican agenda, I mean, the Republicrat agenda, especially since we consider that this is supposed to be a liberal or progressive town, and we like to float around and say that, hey, we're against the war in Iraq, we're against the Patriot Act, we are for medical marijuana. You know, we I was really affected by seeing a photo display at the Getty Museum down in Southern California of people, Dorothea Lange photos of people during the Depression. And it really struck me hard because I see those same faces all the time. And I think the route that's going on right now, the route that's being taken by city government and particularly in Santa Cruz, is that the people who are poor or begging for change or playing music to make some change and not at a 9-to-5 job for a corporation, not that you can get one if you tried to, that you can't blame these people, and that's what's going on. These people are being blamed. I mean, of course, there's people among any group of folks, like whether it's police, executives, whatever it is, there's going to be some folks who are going to be doing obnoxious shit, you know?
Sure.
But that's the same thing with homeless people and people on the street and musicians. Some people are going to be obnoxious. Some musicians cannot play a tune, man. They can't carry a tune, I swear. But the thing is that you can't turn around and blame them and mete out collective punishment. That's what Israel has been doing to Palestinians. And you can't just turn around and do that. And I'm starting to get very frustrated because